Today we're going to learn from God's word in a very long passage, the whole chapter 17 of John. It's 26 verses, but for the sake of time, just read the first five verses, because through the sermon we're going to go through the whole chapter. Jesus' prayer for us. This is in a context where from chapter 13, John 13 to 17, Jesus is in private conversation with his disciple. From chapter 1 to chapter 11 in John, Jesus is in public ministry. If you remember chapter 2 already, he is at a wedding with his disciple, his mother, changing water into wine. In chapter 5, 6, he's multiplying bread, fish, to feed 4,000 or 5,000 people. And yes, you come to chapter 11 where it's like you're playing African drum. Boom, 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 boom. Chapter 11, Lazarus is sick. His sister sent people to ask for Jesus. Come, your friend is sick. Jesus stay for a few days until Lazarus is dead. 4 days Lazarus is in the tomb, and then Jesus show up. And where Jesus will be taken to the tomb, and Lazarus in a miraculous way will be resurrected by Jesus Christ. And yes, you will think after doing all these wonderful wonders, where he is clearly shown through his word and through his action that this is the real God, that people should be kumbaya. No, the Pharisees want to kill him. And this is where in chapter 12 you will hear that after this, the resurrection of Lazarus, Jesus' public ministry stopped. He went out with his disciple in a deserted place because he knew this is his last week before the cross. And therefore, you are in a context where you are looking at someone who is about to die. He said, I'm going to die on the cross. Figure yourself being among those first disciples sitting there. You have left Galilee. You have left your fishing business. You have left, if you're a Matthew, you have left your business as a tax collector. And following this man, you have left your family. And now after 2-3 years, that I'm going to die, and what happened to us? Our sister Sandy, yes, our sister Margaret, our sister Catherine is here. We're sorry for the loss that you endured this year. And you can understand that it's not an easy context. Usually the one who are going to lose their life, the family, the friend are concerned about them. They're trying to comfort you, them. You'll be okay. But in this context, is the one going to die will turn around and comfort those who are around him. And this is where you have to take this context, that Jesus, instead of being comforted, he's the one he's comforting the rest of us. And the comfort will start in chapter 12, where he's going to tell them, you, yes, I'm going to leave, but love one another as I love you. Everybody just looking at him. Yes, I'm going to die, but before I go, I want you to love each other as I love you. Chapter 13. In chapter 14, the message is this. Don't let your heart be in trouble. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is not the end. Yes, I'll die, but my death is a good thing for you because I'll go and prepare a place for you. And then, before I go, and then prepare a place for you, you'll be here. You won't leave right away. And I will send, yes, chapter 14 and 15 and 16, what we call the Holy Spirit will help you. And then chapter 17, to close the whole thing, let me pray for you. And you know before his death, this is his last prayer for you. Personally, I have a privilege to be prayed for by disease, two people who are living this world. I told you several times in my sermon, my sister was next to me. We used to go to school together. 1981 on a Sunday, April the 5th. I'll never forget to remember because, you know, I'm the oldest. She was following me. Her name was Joy. My sister has malaria on a Wednesday. By Sunday morning like this, she couldn't go to church. She was so sick. We, being pastor children, prayer meeting come in the afternoon. Prayer meeting, many people don't show up. I'm going to a prayer meeting. My sister from her bed, so weak, she's trying to stand up that she's going to prayer meeting. I said, no, you can't. She was 9 years old. I would never be tired to tell you this story because it's in the context of prayer. Here she was in the morning, the service like this, she couldn't go. But when it came to the prayer in the afternoon, she's 9 years old, only 9 years old, and I was 11. I tried to force her to sit down. She said no. She followed me. With two of us, we walk in. They were all elderly people, just probably maximum 10, and we sat there. Little did I know that this was the last prayer for my sister. Because after that prayer meeting, 2 hours later, my sister started to cry. Call my father by his first name for the third time. Timothy, Timothy, I'm dying. We all panicked. My father said, no, daughter, you won't, you won't. Guess what? A few minutes later, she's by her bedside. To pray for each one of us in the family one by one. And then went back to the bed. And that's it. And I sat there. I will never forget it. 9 years old. She left us in prayer. And then a few weeks, a month ago in June, I met a friend at Tyndale. She was a pastor. Thanks to her, I'm still preaching at the Baptist Church in Markham every month. She's the one who introduced me to a church. When she had cancer several times, in the end, she called me, Nuhum, I would like you to bury me. I said, what do you mean? Yes, I won't survive. The last time I stood by her was June, guess what, June the 4th. She said, Nuhum, I'm weak, but I would like to pray for you. For the first time that she ever touched me was on that day. I got closer to her. She put her hand on me. Pray like crazy. And that was the last meeting we had. Brother and sister, this is the last prayer that Jesus has for his disciple. And it is called Jesus' high priestly prayer. He's here at a time when he's going to die, pouring his heart for you and for me. And please pay attention to the content of this prayer. Because it's going to help us a lot in our Christian walk for the rest of our life. And you see, this prayer focuses on the relationship between God the Father and God the Son and his desired relationship between them and you, the believer. It's all about relationship. Christianity will be called religion, religion, religion. But the truth of the matter is this. For the world is religion, but for you and me, it's about relationship. Between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the relationship between you, me, with that God. And in that relationship, brother and sister, understand the context. Again, Jesus in his last days with his disciple before his death. This is the context. This is the last day that he's living. You will see several times in the Bible, Jesus spent time there and there and pray and pray. But what did he say in the prayer is not there. But this time, the longest prayer, the words are there. And it's meaningful for you. You see, Africa Bible study, Bible commentary above this context is this. Jesus was about to face death on the cross. Yet his greatest concern was what would happen to his followers. Here he prayed for them. In the Old Testament, Jacob blessed his children and grandchildren as he was dying. Genesis 20:48-49. In many of our communities, this is African communities, we will still do that. We still do that. Dying people want to pronounce their last blessings on their children and grandchildren. The prayers are often about protection, unity, prosperity. These themes also mark the prayer Jesus prayed for his followers. It's a long commentary. He asked his father to protect them and ensure unity among them. If a person knows his death is coming and has the opportunity to pray a special blessing upon his children, grandchildren, and other relatives, this can be a lifelong treasure. It can be a source of guidance for those who are blessed. Did you know that Jesus specifically prayed for you before he died? He prayed for his disciple, but added, I'm praying not only for this disciple, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That refers to all believers. And lastly, he prayed that we would always be protected when we are under attack. He did not pray that we would escape hardship. As long as we are in this world, trouble will come. But he prayed that when troubles come, we would be safe from the evil one. Let us seek to be like him as we live in this world. This is the context. And now, here the content of the prayer itself. For the sake of the length of time, I shorten it. Jesus, in this long chapter, starts to pray for himself first. He starts with himself. And let's see what did he pray about himself. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your son that your son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. You have given him. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Brother and sister, I want you to underline the word glory, glorify. The main purpose for you and me, God created you and me to glorify him in our life. In death and in life, it's about glorifying God. And this is what Jesus was focused on. You see, for someone dying, for someone going to go through suffering, if you were to be in his shoes, your prayer would be, Jesus, make it less painful for me. Oh, God, help me to avoid it. Oh, God, I don't know. So it's all about me. But you see, in this prayer, as he prayed, he's teaching you and me that at the end of the day, in life and in death, it's about glorifying God. And how do you glorify God? You see, glorify your son, that your son may glorify you. Son and father's relationship. You see the relationship there. As I mentioned to you, where yes, with six children that I have, they all know that my name is Nuhum. But none of them will walk in and say, hey, Nuhum, how you doing? They'll never do that. There are times when we're playing each other, they say, no, this is our time when we're just teasing each other. Hey, Nuhum, I understand that. But apart from that, they always come, Papa, Dad, our Father. When you hear the word Father, it's so deep, it's so meaningful. It's so relational. It's a special relationship. And Jesus, at his death, this is the highlight of his life and in his death. And in that relationship, Father has given him work to do. The Father had given a work to do. And in all this, it's about, I finished the work. Therefore, this is the place where you and I have to ask ourselves in our relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, what is your priority? What is your priority in your faith? Do you remember that it's about glorifying God? And then in that, to value your special relationship with Him that He has given you. And in that relationship, that you, each one of us, has been given a task, a work to do. And unfortunately, most of us don't understand that aspect of your faith. For you and me, while we're still alive, let's focus on the work God has given us to do. Because sooner or later, like Jesus, we're all going to say goodbye to this world. Would you be able to say, I finished your work? Would you be able to say, my children, my wife, my church, the work God gave me in my 30 year or 50 year or 80 year, doesn't matter how long it is. Don't forget, Jesus was 33 years old. Here, 33 years old, he said, my work is finished. Therefore, brother and sister, whatever length of time God gives you, may God give you the privilege, the understanding of your deep relationship with Him, to value that, and in that relationship to say, it's all about glorifying God. And therefore, brother and sister, we come to the second prayer that He has for us. Verse 6 to 19, this is the big, big part where Jesus prayed for His disciple. As a praying for Himself, glorifying God. Here it is. I have revealed you to those who have give that you gave me out of the world. And these are the believer disciples. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the word you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me, believers. And what the prayer? I pray for them. And guess what? To protect them. I protected them and kept them safe. My prayer, you protect them from the evil one. Sanctify them. For the sake of time, what we focus here for me, to make, they believe in the word that the Father gave to him. You're a believer. The question is, where you are, do you believe in what Jesus has done? Do you believe in what Jesus has said? If yes, you're a part of the believers. And if you're shaky in your belief, please, today is the day to be strong in your belief in him. And guess what? As he's leaving to go to heaven, yes, you will be here on this earth. He's praying for you, for your protection from the evil one. The evil one is Satan. The evil one is the power of sin. The evil one is your trials. The evil one is your temptation. And Jesus is praying for you. Therefore, brother and sister, when you are in all those evil things around you, quietly reach out to Jesus Christ. Jesus, evil one, is after me. I remember your prayer before your death. Help me to overcome this evil thing. And yes, he's praying for your protection, yes, and in all this to sanctify, to be sanctified. To be sanctified, to be cleansed. We know, yes, we have been saved from the penalty of sin. We're not going to go to hell anymore. But while we're still living here, there's something called the power of sin. It's not because you're a believer that you don't sin anymore. Sin is trying to overpower you still. Reach out to God, to Jesus. Jesus, this sin is trying to swallow me up. I don't want to live under the power of sin anymore. Help me, Jesus Christ, to be sanctified. Believers, as long as we're on this earth, let sanctification be part of your priority. And yes, as you live on this planet Earth, be assured that Jesus wants to protect you. And yes, brothers and sisters, as he prays for our protection, he prays for our sanctification, and make sure that we are connected to his Father, it does not stop there. He prays for all believers from 20 to 26. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Wow. He's praying for different generations. Those of us who are married, having children, this is an inspiration. There are times I sit in my room through this prayer to try to project what would be my grandchildren, great-grandchildren look like when I'm not here. It's a true story. Sometimes I just sit there. Because, you see, being born in Mali, in a house, not even a hospital, in one of the poor villages in the Wolo, and finding myself having my six children being born here at North York General Hospital, I just sit there and wonder about God. God, how did you do this? And I look at them, and I pray that, you know what, one day they'll get married. I wish I could be long enough to be able to see their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. But I say, oh, I don't think God will allow me to do that. But I just sit there and say, okay, Lord, whatever they're going to be, I just want to pray for them based on this inspiration. And it works. The father, the mother, the grandfather, grandmothers, let you and I be inspired by Jesus. The uncles, those who have no physical children, the Lord has blessed you with spiritual children. Continue to pray for generations to come. And yes, brother, I want those who have given me you have given me to be with me where I am. But before that, what the prayer for them to be one, to complete unity. The prayer is about unity among believers. And then as that unity is formed, yes, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you have given me before, because you love me before the creation of the world. Brothers and sisters, some key lessons I would like to go through from this message. The first lesson that we glean from this prayer is this: mutual glorification of the Father and the Son. Always come with glory. Glory. This glory is revealed through Jesus' suffering and death on the cross as the ultimate act of obedience and completion of his redemptive work on earth. This is the glory. It's like shining in the darkness. This cross, remember, he was put on that cross not of his own sin. He was put on that cross because of our sin, because of our darkness. And yet in that darkness of sin, the cross comes as light of love. The cross comes as light of obedience. The cross comes as light of being faithful to the Father in the task he has given him. It's a light in the midst of the darkness of the world. And you and I are privileged to be part of that light. The world will hate you. It could be in your own family. It could be in your workplace. It could be even in your church. In Jesus, through his relationship with the Father, let you, through the work of the cross, be this light everywhere you go. Because that's what we see in his prayer. In this mutual relationship, as you follow him and you follow his step of glorification, believe me, you won't be God, but you will be shining God light everywhere you go. And this is where your Christian faith will make a difference. And this is why he knew you and I can't do this on our own. Before he did this prayer, he gave us the power of the Holy Spirit to help us do this. And yes, brothers and sisters, eternal life as knowing God. Eternal life is not merely an ending existence. Because when you talk about eternal life, okay, we won't die anymore. We won't die anymore. Sometimes this is how we see eternal life. But the eternal life here is an intimate, personal, experiential knowledge of the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have, he has sent, who came to us. To know him. To love him. And in him, him who has overcome death. When you know him and you are in him, through him you enjoy this eternal life. It's all about intimate relationship with him. Therefore, understand again that the eternal life we're talking about is all linked to Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think eternal life is kind of a la-la land somewhere, kind of, yeah, you won't die anymore. But the line of this life, eternal life, is always go through Jesus Christ. Therefore, today, again and again, where is your relationship, personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Make sure that personal relationship is genuine, is true. That's why he came for you. And yes, brothers and sisters, the protection, the sanctification, and the unity of all believers. What is threatening your faith today? Think about that. Where do you need protection in your faith? Where do you need protection in your ministry? Take time to think about those. Where do you need sanctification in your ministry? Where do you need sanctification in your faith? And yes, the unity of all believers will become one in the body of Christ. This is key for all of us in our local church here and starting in your family. As I always believe in my heart, let your church start in your own family. There's no point to try to be godly here in this Alliance Church when you go home, you're a mess. When you go home, you're a nightmare. It does not work. This is why, as I mentioned to you, church is not a building like this. We enjoy the building. But you know what? The church is you and me at home and here. And cultivate those things at home and everywhere you go. And yes, brothers and sisters, you see, all this to prepare you and me to be witness to the world. The believer to be witness to the world. The purpose of belief, of all believer unity is missional. So that the world may believe you have sent me. Yes, the love and unity among believers serve as a powerful testimony to the world of Christ's divine origin and God's love for humanity. Brothers and sisters, you see, the unity of Christ, the love of Christ is overwhelming. Every time when I go to Malian Civic School that we have been building there, you know what comes to my mind? This is the power of Christ here in Mali. So many people have sent their prayer. So many people have given their money, knowing they will never make it physically in Mali. And yet their money, their prayer are touching so many lives in Mali through this school. And that has been the reality of a world mission. You and I have prayed for Myanmar. You and I have prayed for Panama, where we have sent local, some of our people from this church to those places. We have prayed for Nelson, Joanna's husband, in Atlantic Canada. He came and shared her. I'd never been to Atlantic Canada. But through Nelson, we have been there. And then while Nelson is there, he knows he's not alone. He has people here. And this is why. To be united, he has a power in mission that the world cannot understand. And this is our strength. And this is why you and I don't ever, ever underestimate yourself. Because by cultivating unity here, the power goes beyond this wall here. And yes, brothers and sisters, all this believer sharing in Christ's glory and love. It starts with glory and it will end with glory. Jesus expresses his desire for believer to ultimately be with him in heaven, to see and share in the glory he had with his Father before the world began. He also prayed that this immense love the Father has for him reside in all his followers. At the end of the day, Jesus telling them in this prayer, start with glorifying God in everything you are and you do in your lifetime. Yes, things will be difficult, but you'll be protected, you'll be cleansed, you'll be sanctified, and yes, you'll be used to do mission, and in the end, where I'm going, you're joining me one day. Therefore, go and do your work. And this is where, brothers and sisters, I'm going to end this sermon with some practical stuff that you and I need to go through. I gleaned this from Life Application Study Bible Commentary, and it says this: Jesus prayed for all who would follow him, including you and others you know. He prayed for unity, protection from the evil one, and holiness. So underline these three things: unity, protection, and holiness. Knowing that Jesus prayed for us should give us confidence as we work for his kingdom. Therefore, what does it mean? Think about the work you have received from Jesus Christ. Sometimes we're hesitating. Is it going to end well? No. Have confidence in him that the work he has given you will be done when you trust him. And guess what? Jesus' great desire for his disciples was that they would become one. He wanted them unified as a powerful witness to the reality of God's love. Here's the question. Are you helping to unify the body of Christ, the church? This is a question that you and I need to take home. Are you helping to unify the body of Christ, the church? You can pray for other Christians, avoid gossip, build others up, work together in humility, give your time and money, exalt Christ, and refuse to get sidetracked arguing over divisive matters. I pray that you look at this quotation here, this commentary, and take your clue. Some of us, we're struggling in protection. Some of us, our problem is holiness. Some of us, it's the unity. And I pray that wherever you and I go, that we'll be protected from the evil one. We'll be unified in Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. We'll be holy. And guess what? And more important in all this, to be helping in, yes, the unification of the body of Christ. That wherever you are, your word and your action does not bring division. Whether in your house, in your half family, that your presence is a presence to unify people. That your presence is to protect people. That your presence is to bring holiness. That your presence is, yes, to bring joy. And all this to say, I have work to do. And in that work is building up people. Therefore, brother and sister, as we leave this place, we have an example from Jesus Christ that in the end, prayer matters a lot. Prayer matters a lot. It's known as the most miracle doer, the great preacher, the great teacher. But I'm glad that he ends his conversation with his disciple by praying. Therefore, my prayer for you today is to make you men and women of prayer. That even in your death time, that this big wonderful gift you can give to your loved one, and that you can give to even generation to come by just presenting them to Jesus Christ. And as you think about your own loved one who has given you word of wisdom before they leave this planet Earth, legacy, that you remember what was big on their mind, that much with Jesus Christ. Follow that. And again, as we leave this place, that you will go home and read more and more this prayer of Jesus Christ so that you can have a guideline for your faith and your ministry on this planet Earth. Because this is one his last word for you and for me. This is the place to go. What do you want me to do? Let this be a kind of GPS for you. It's clearly, this is a GPS. It starts with glorification and with mission and go to heaven. The Lord bless you as you go through this process and yield yourself in his hand to fulfill, to be an answer to Jesus' prayer for the unity and the world mission of his church. When we pray, we want prayer to be answered. And you know what? When that answer comes, it does not come in an empty box. God will always use people to make his prayer be answered. And my prayer is that you, individually, collectively, will be those instruments of Jesus fulfilling his prayer. That would be amazing for you and I. That when we meet Jesus, Pastor Terrence, I pray for you and I pray for the world. Thank you, Pastor Terrence, my faithful Terrence, of being this instrument of answering my prayer for the world. Catherine, thank you. When I pray for all of you before I even know it, I'm thankful that you follow me to be an answer to my prayer for the world. And that's the challenge that you and I need to go through. And he has given you the Holy Spirit and his word to do it. Go and do this for Jesus' glory. Amen.